I know everybody's having a wonderful time of fellowship. But we're so glad that you're here. It's a wonderful time to celebrate Father's Day. And there may be a few others that will be coming in from the donuts in a few minutes. We'll just see. But we're glad that you're here. Those of you that are visiting with us, we want you to know we welcome you into the Lord's presence. Those that might be in the parking lot, those that are listening later on the website, we're so glad that all of you have chosen to join us here at Barbie's Grove as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. It's a good time to fellowship. It's a good time to study God's Word. And it's a good time, most of all, just to love Jesus. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, to know that you're with us, to know that you live within us. And Father, we thank you for every blessing that are ours. We thank you for your love, your care, your wonderful, wonderful salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for this group that's assembled here today. Those that might be listening in the parking lot, those that might be listening on the web later today. Thank you for each one of them. And Father, you know every need, whether it's physical or spiritual, emotional, financial. Father, out of your great mercy and your love, we pray that you meet those particular needs. Most of all, Father, we pray that we shall give you glory and honor and praise for being the wonderful God that you are, the wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Welcome. Happy Father's Day to everyone this morning, all the fathers this morning. We're going to have our hymn sing this morning, as we normally do, and our hymn sing is going to be 571. Now, it's not typically a Father's Day song, Kathy, as we talked about, but the song says, "Let others see Jesus in you," and if you listen and you read the pastor's newsletter, he referenced this song, and because it does, charges us with letting others see Jesus in us and being good leaders, and so men, that's what this is about, this being good leaders and being good examples. So page 571, you can read the words up on the board as well. Let others see Jesus in you, Kathy. As we stand.
Let others see Jesus.
thank you. Before you sit down, welcome someone to church this morning. Say good morning. Well, good morning again. I have a few announcements for you before, but first let me thank you all for being here today. Thank you for our visitors to being with us. My son and all the family there this morning. I thank Jeff and Charlene and Adam and Angela, and there's Tyler and Ashley and a young man that I look forward to meeting at lunch today. So, oh, yeah, that's right. Tyler's not with us. He's in camp. That's right. I just count him anyway. So, but anyway, it's so good to see everybody this morning. Lee, my friend. From West Virginia, I get that right, Virginia, West Virginia. But have a lot of confidence in that boy. He's a young, fine young man. So good to see you, Lee. Good to have you with us today. All right, so I've got some announcements for you. I've been handed a, if everyone needs one of these, this is Nell Jackman's contacts while she's in rehab. And I believe that you can go see her. But Kathy's got some. We'll be glad to make sure you get them. So send her a card. Go by and see her, too. I think they'll allow some visitors, a couple, I think, two.
Well, two a day.
Two a day.
Yeah,
okay.
But you can alternate. Like, you can send one person in and then send another person in. And then
okay.
Back and forth.
Cool, okay.
So long as it's only in one schedule.
Yeah, let's just show her some love, okay? That's what we need to do. When you're in a facility like that, you need to be show them some love. So let's just be sure we do that. We're going to continue on as we are doing with our Sunday school at 9 and our worship at 10. It's working very well. I think you all are happy with that. Until you show signs that you're not happy with it, then we're going to continue on as we're going. And so we thank you. Also, Wednesday night, I want to ask you to come and support Wednesday night. We had a better crowd Wednesday night, and I think it's getting better as we go along. So please come and be part of that. Choir, I want to ask you choir members to be planning for July the 11th. That's Sunday night, July the 11th. We're going to open our choir rehearsals back. It's about time. And don't get me wrong, I've been so happy and so pleased with Tonda and Kathy and filling in on the special music and once in a while letting me sing if I sing fast enough. But once in a while, I'll be able to sing a song. But it's been so wonderful. But the choir I miss, don't you all?
Yeah.
And so we want to get the choir back and get the choir singing again. So those are all the announcements I have for right now. Anybody got anything you want to add? Yes, Kenny.
I'd like to meet with the nominating committee just a few minutes after service.
All right, nominating committee right after service. Before you go that way, come this way, see Kenny. All right. Anybody else? All right. If there are no other announcements, yes, Charlene.
Say something. I would like to thank the church for all your prayers for my mom.
Yes.
And I just want to say she's in rehab, and July 15th will be her 100 days. And she's not really ready to come home, so we have to move her to another facility after that. But she doesn't have any short term memory. And everything, but we appreciate the prayers and the thoughts and everything because it means a lot. The Lord's been answering our prayers. She is coming along some, and she's been a long way, so we're very thankful.
Well, we thank God for the praise. Thank God for the praise report, Charlene. And we have definitely lifted her up here in our. Anyone else? Let me. I've got some this morning that I want to share that I have that had been given to me. Let's remember Cadence Louder, and she is still going to have to go through some tests and some. But she's doing better, I understand, right, Tamara?
She is.
So.
And she's got a strong swiggle spirit and God's in control.
Yes. All right. And McCord, let's remember McCord, Barbie. McCord is dealing with the eyesight issues again, and McCord, and when I've talked, the doctors are going to be looking at him, some specials will be looking at him, and we're going to put you in the Lord's hands and know the Lord's going to see you through, McCord. Let's pray for McCord, Barbie. Kenny's mom, and I talked to Kenny this morning, she's doing better, but let's continue to pray for her and lift her up before the Lord. I asked for Scott Davis. He's asked for prayer, and I want to lift him up to you as Scott is going through some issues, and we need to lift him up in prayer. He specifically asked for it, and I want to be sure that we do that. McCord's friend, Bill. And McCord, I'll never get his last name if I even try. So,
Shufflebotham.
That's what I did. All right, let's remember Bill Shuffle.
That'll work.
All right. Tony's got a great granddaughter. Abby, we need to remember her. Right, Tony, just lift her up before the Lord. And then Annabelle Spates. Annabelle Spates is having a very difficult time with heart issues. And as a matter of fact, it's grave, right, Lionel? And as a matter of fact, I think just saying that her time is going to be near. And let's remember Annabelle. Annabelle, if you know Annabelle, you know what a worker she's been for the Lord and for this community. And so let's pray for Annabelle today. All right, anyone else have anybody you want to lift up? Yes? Chris Burris. Okay. Someone else had. Oh, yes.
Andrew's having his tonsils removed.
Who, please?
Andrew.
Okay. Okay.
And Leonard, I told just about everybody, but we are so thrilled with the care that Mama's getting mm-hmm. at the nursing home. She took 10 steps. Twice on Friday, which is the first time she's walked since she fell on June the 6th. And so she's really, really excited. We're going to come home just
wonderful.
Praying for that.
Well, she work hard, she'll be home.
She'll be home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know she will. Yes, Will.
I would like to pray for one of my friends who's struggling to find Jesus right now.
Okay, Will. Okay. Anyone else? Anywhere?
I have a praise report on
yes.
Ted Parker's daughter.
Yes.
She was able to come back home this past week from being hospitalized and has been very sick since about April 6th with the COVID virus. And so she's very, very happy to be home.
That is great news. Great news. Because I know the situation was very, 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 very grave at one time. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, this special day, Lord, as we come this morning. And as we look about in the congregation today, we're so thankful for those who prioritize their time to come. And Lord, we thank you for that special day of Father's Day and for each father that is here. And Lord, as we remember our fathers, whether they be alive or dead today, Lord, what an impact they made on our lives. I'm thankful for a good father. And I know, Lord, that you gave him to us that he may be the leader that I needed in life. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for all those who are here today. And now, Lord, as we look forward to as the service today, we pay a special blessing upon all those who have a part. We pray for Miss Kathy as she comes and worships and sings the worship music for us today. And our Pastor Ed as he comes and delivers the message. But then, Lord, I want to remember specifically those who have been asked that we remember our prayer. I want to pray for little Candace Louder. We pray for her, Lord, as she continues on and as the specialists work with her. We pray for Ken's mom. We thank for the praise report that we received this morning. We lift up Scott Davis to you, Lord, this morning. He is having some issues. Lord, we want to pray for him. We pray for Bill, McCord's friend Bill. Lift him up to you. And Lord, there's McCord. We pray for McCord and his eyesight. Lord, we know that you can lay your hand upon him and healing will come forth. And Lord, we pray for healing for McCord. We pray for Tony's great-granddaughter. And Lord, for Miss Annabelle Spates, who's dealing with heart trouble and heart issues. Lord, we place her in your hands for your timing. And Lord, your will be done in her life. And then, Lord, we pray for the Chris Burris family. We pray for Miss Neil Jackman, Lord. We lift her up to you. We pray for Andes. He's going to have tonsillectomy. We pray for him. We pray for Will's friend and who needs the Lord. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will draw him. And then for Becky Parker in the praise report that we've heard this morning, we're so thankful, Lord, that you do answer our prayers, and we thank you for your healing. And then, Lord, as we go forward now, Lord, we lift up these people into your name and ask a special blessing upon them. Go forward into our service today, and Lord, we make this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Miss Kathy, if you would please come and share with us.
I can honestly say I will be so excited to have the choir back. I don't mind singing. I enjoy singing, but it's really hard to find a song. It's really hard to find songs to fit the occasions, and so that's where Leonard's expertise comes in. And so I can't wait for it to all be on his responsibility in the future. No, I'm telling you, I miss the collective singing and the collectiveness of the choir and just all the people's voices together. So pray for me with this song. It is one, this week has been difficult trying to find a song that specifically talks about fathers. Now, there are lots that talk about God the Father, which obviously he is our role model, and he's who fathers should mimic after. But as I was talking to Pamela this morning, sometimes it's really hard to reach people who don't have a good relationship with their father. It's hard to reach them and talk to them about our good father, our Father God, because they don't understand that father-child relationship. So we need to pray for those kids as well, that we've struggled with that this week, talking to people that are not saved, that are having issues with their own personal father. But I was lucky. I had a fantastic dad who brought me up the way I needed to be brought up and made no mistake about it. And showed me the way, the error of my ways, sometimes through the seat of my pants. But I praise God for that, and I praise him for his accountability, may hold me accountable. And so I was thinking of my dad when I ran across this song. I don't know if you guys have heard it. It's from the Blythe family, but it's a wonderful song about a man of faith. And I thank all of you out here in the congregation, Pastor Ed, Leonard was my youth director years ago, and he was a godly example as well. So I thank God for all the fathers and pseudo fathers that have been in my life, and I know you guys have done that for your family and friends and nephews and nieces. And this song is for you, men of faith. Themselves. But when I look at you, I see someone else. You say you're not perfect, but I know the truth, and I'd like to tell what he believes. see a man of God who lives what he believes, a man who shows the world what a Christian should be. I've watched a life, that's why I can say
get plumb bouncy sometimes whenever these kids are. You know, since this is Father's Day, it's a good time to talk about family relationships. And in a little while, we'll look at some scripture, but I wanted to do a little something before I really got to preaching. And one of the things that I like about Barbie's Grove is the love I see between parents and children and grandparents and children. There's a lot of special relationships that are there. And just like that first song, "Let Others See Jesus in You," we need to be concerned about how others do look at us. We need to be concerned about the kind of example we set for others. Not just as a Christian, but in every way. Think about it. What will you remember from your past about your aunts, uncles, parents, grandparents? And if the Lord tarries, what will people remember about you? I was just, I don't know, just popped in my head this morning. I got to thinking about some of my relatives. I had this one aunt. She terrified me. It's like she had soured on the world. And I didn't like to go where she lived very much at all. If I could get out of being around her when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I stayed away. I had an uncle that was so vulgar. And that same uncle was married to a different aunt. And when I watched him beat her up and was helpless to do anything about it. But then I had some other relatives. I remember one aunt that was just so sweet and just such a joy to be around. Just like she always had time for me. And then I remember another aunt that she just, you know, when we'd be around, she'd want to talk about deep things from the Bible and theology and all kinds of things that and books that I'd read, and just intellectually stimulus. What a joy. So, you know, we're all leaving behind a legacy for the ones that are younger than us. Now, I don't know where it was, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but several years ago, on Father's Day, I read the tribute that Kevin and his brother Kyle wrote about my brother Bob, and I read them at, you know, at his funeral. Well, when my dad died, my son, who still lives in Oregon, was in Oregon. He was a grown man. And he didn't have the money or the time to get here for the funeral. But he's somewhat of an artist. And so he drew a sort of a watercolor type picture. And that's about the way as you got about halfway down the road to my dad's farm where Kevin now lives, that's about the picture that you would have seen. And then he wrote some memories on it. It looks like a little black streaks probably to you across the middle of it, of his granddad. Now, I need to tell you three things, I think, so that you'll understand when I read it. One, after Dad sold the Big Oak Kerr Market, he sold peaches in our front yard under a big pine tree. So that'll help you to understand that. Then when Stephen was little, Daddy always called him Monkey Knees, I guess because he acted like a little monkey. And Dad always got up and cooked him French toast for breakfast. And he said, well, I've caught the Frenchman again. So I'm going to read you this. And you think about it. Here's a grown young man talking about his granddaddy. And even though it's been, and I read this, Stephen overnighted it from Oregon, and I read it at the funeral. And even after 25 years, I still get a little choked up from time to time when I read it. So I'm going to try to read it for you. And he's left-handed, so I'll put it up here and you can try to come read it too. But my grandfather has left this world, and with tears in my eyes, I'm flooded with memories. Memories I am grasping, embracing, cherishing. They are all I have left. They are sweet memories. Memories that filled my childhood. And now that I am a man, I realize how much he gave me and how much of him I have become. I remember waking on Saturday mornings to the smell of breakfast cooking. He had run down the Frenchman again, so Monkey Knees could have his favorite, French toast. I remember baskets of peaches sold on hot summer days, a bushel, a peg, the scale hanging from the old pine, those fuzzy peaches that always made my arms itch. I remember driving to the farm in the old International with tools on the dash and a hole in the floorboard, watching the dirty dirt road go by under my feet, always greeted by the baying of hounds whose hunting days were over. I remember driving the tractor perched on his knee off through the pasture to vaccinate a newborn calf or to find one that was lost. I remember the bales of hay stacked so high on the truck, I wondered how it didn't topple over. always on the hottest days of the year. And I remember how on days like these, the water from the well tasted so sweet, drunk from the old tin ladle. But most important, I remember the man in a John Deere hat and overalls with a pocket watch hidden inside. The man who always had time for me. The man I knew loved me. The man I looked up to and loved. I miss you, Paul Ball. I will never forget you. And I ask you again, what kind of legacy do we leave? What do people think about us? What will they think about us if the Lord tarries? Will they remember us with love, with caring? Whether it's riding on the tractor or going hunting, going fishing, building sandcastles at the beach. Whatever it is, may our lives give forth love to children and grandchildren and to nieces and nephews. And today I want us to go to the book of Ephesians and talk about family life. Family life. And I got to thinking about how marriage relationships get started. Sometimes it gets started when a guy looks over and says, wow, is that not a beautiful young lady? Or a young lady looks across there and says, is that not a handsome man? And they get together and over a period of time they decide they've fallen in love and they get married. And then there are other times when, you know, it's sort of a growing thing. You're a lab partner in school, or somebody sits beside of you in school, or and you just talk and you fellowship and you share, or maybe it's somebody you go to church with, or somebody that's at your workplace. And over a period of time, you begin to grow. You know, we've got a lot in common. We like one another. We get along well, and you realize that that relationship has grown into the relationship that leads to marriage. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about the relationship between husband and wife and children, parents, and also about the relationship that Christ has with the church, and he makes that comparison. And in Ephesians 5:21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Passion Translation says, out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other. You know, a real relationship, whether it's marriage or in the church or wherever, begins when you honor one another. It's not a big I and a little you, but when you honor one another. When you respect one another. And it doesn't matter what our status is, whether we're married, widowed, divorced, never married. We need to be aware that we honor the Lord by the way we treat one another. We honor the Lord by the way we care about one another. We honor the Lord as we support one another in a loving manner. You know, I know that the King James says submit, but it's a mutual submission of love, of caring, realizing we're both under God. We're both under God. And then he begins to talk about the wives. And again, the King James uses the word submit. Other translations use a different word, and I'll give you that in just a minute. Look at verses 22, 24, and 33. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In the Passion Translation, in verse 22 says, for wives, this means being devoted to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. Verse 24, in the same way the church is devoted to Christ, so let the wives be devoted to their husbands in everything. In verse 33, so every married man should be gracious to his wife just as he is gracious to himself, and every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband. I like that a whole lot better. Tenderly devoted. Tenderly devoted. Caring. Sometimes a wife will say, well, you just don't know my husband. You picked him. What if you think that? What if I'd have known what I know now? But the wife is asked to be tenderly devoted to her husband, to care about him, to allow him to be the head and the leader of the home. Now, some husbands won't take that place of leadership, and the wife ends up having to fulfill it. But do you notice it doesn't say the wife has to love the husband? But now if you're tenderly devoted, you're going to love him. But now notice, as we look at the husband, what it says about the way he's supposed to treat his wife. And I tell you, men, Lord lays it on the line. Look at verse 23. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his wife, father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. The two shall be one flesh. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Notice he keeps saying, husbands, love with the agape love, with the self-giving love, with the caring love, with the sacrificial love. He says, like Christ loved the church. Well, now, how did Christ love the church? He died for it. He died for the church. So he says, a husband ought to be willing to do anything possible up to the point of dying for his wife. That means she's the most valuable treasure that he has. The Bible says they become one. I went to a place of business yesterday, and almost didn't get waited on. It's just a, you know, one person business, and sometimes there's two or three. But this lady, and I don't know how old she was, but she looked a whole lot older than I thought than my wife and I. But anyway. And finally, the clerk just had to say, Mr. Louder, can I wait on you? And whenever the lady walked out, she said, I've taken too much of your time. And then the clerk told me, says, she just lost her husband of 53 years. Mm-hmm. See, a part of her is missing. And she just needed somebody to talk with, somebody to listen to her pain. And if I'd have known the circumstances, I'd have just put my stuff over on the corner and said, I'll pick it up Monday. See, she and her husband had, I didn't know her. But there was something special about the relationship that she shared, and she was sharing with this clerk. The pain of missing somebody special in her life. And the Lord, through Paul, is saying to us, husbands, create a special, loving relationship with your wife. And you know, not only did Jesus die for the church, he gave us everything we need. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go build you a place in heaven, and I'm going to come back and get you again, and all everything else we need. He said, every need met through Christ. And so a husband ought to be the kind of person that will do everything possible to bless his wife. Now, I realize growing up, it wasn't that way in the community that I grew up in. You know, as a little kid, I kept hearing all these guys around, well, I got to go home. The old battle axe is probably mad at me now. Anybody else hear that kind of stuff when you were growing up? That doesn't show much love. That doesn't show much caring. I hope that there's not a husband here with that attitude. Do you need to come down and repent when the service is over? I'm serious. I know it's funny, but I'm serious. We as husbands need to treat our wives as somebody special. Because they are God's special gift to us. Remember, in the book of Proverbs, he who finds a wife finds what?
Good thing.
A good thing. And boy, did I. A good thing. Notice how many times the Lord kept saying, husbands, love your wife. Have the same kind of caring love for your wife that Christ had for the church. And that's special. And then in Ephesians 6, he talks about children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I don't know whether we even, you know, do you really believe that? God says if you treat your parents right, you'll live longer.
Amen.
Now I realize there may be somebody listening to me on the website that your parents want you to do drugs for them or do something, you know, steal for them or something, and you should never violate the law of God. But in ordinary situations, normal relationships, we need to treat our parents with special love and devotion. Because they're special. And then he goes on to say something else about the way you father, verse 4, Ephesians 6, 4, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No home The mother is a special, vital, loving heart of the home. But yet God lays a tremendous responsibility on the fathers. Did you notice that? He said, you fathers. And I read to you several years ago on a Father's Day a statistic that whether or not kids grow up and stay in church after they're grown depends more on the fathers than it does on the mothers or anybody else. We as fathers have a tremendous responsibility as we take care of the family. And he says, bring them up how? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I realize that common 2021 teaching is contrary to the Bible. But God was right back then and he's right now. Turn with me to another passage of Scripture, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. God lays a responsibility on the fathers. Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Now he says, here's the God, here's the laws, the rules, the word of God. When you go into the promised land, here's what you're going to do. That thou mightest fear or reverence or honor the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and who? Thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Why? That the days, thy days may be prolonged. He said, do the Lord's way and you're going to live longer. And here's one of the things. Hear thou, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest increase mightily. You're going to be blessed, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He says, you do God's way, God's going to be bless you. You're going to be increased mightily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. I said, don't just learn them in your head, put them down in your heart. You know, sometimes we've got God's word in our head, but not in our heart. And when it gets down in our heart, it becomes a part of us and it becomes a driving force in the way we live. Sometimes when it's in our head, we just choose, yes, I'll do God's way, or no, I won't do God's way. But when it gets down in our heart, then we do God's way. And then verse 7, look, thou shalt teach them diligently, carefully, faithfully unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. He says, sitting down, going in, coming up, going to bed, getting up from going to bed, diligently, carefully share with your kids the way of God. That's an awesome instruction for dads. Moms as well, and sometimes it's single parent families, wherever it's the mom or the dad that has the kids, they have the sole responsibility. But for the kids to live in a home where the things of God permeate the atmosphere. Now, I've been in homes where the things that permeated the atmosphere was the latest fad. The latest comic book characters, or a lot of other stuff. But what should permeate our homes is the presence of God. What's seen on TV, what's That doesn't mean you don't watch Andy Griffin or something. Hey. But what do the kids see most of? What kind of pictures hang around the walls? What do you talk about? It's sad if the Christian dad teaches his kid to hunt and fish and carpenter and do plumbing and electrical stuff and everything else and doesn't teach him about the Lord. Now, it's wonderful if a dad has various skills and interests and he can share that with the kid. Or the mom sharing, you know, how to cook and how to sew and whatever. But the important thing that God says here to us, all of us, make sure that in your home, the very atmosphere of God is prevalent. So that kids growing up in your home know the things of God. Now, back when in the dark ages, when I was a kid, we had morning devotions in school. Usually on Friday, we had a special speaker. It might be a preacher or a lawyer or a doctor or some other body that was important to come in and share, usually something moral. I remember a little song book that we sang out of, and some of the songs in it were Christian songs when we had those assemblies. Not happening anymore in school, is it? Unless maybe you go to a Christian school. Well, we'll let the church do it. Most kids are in church, what, maybe 2 hours. 3 at the most a week. That means there's another 165 hours a week the kids are not in church. God says, folks, make your home a place that's your kids can experience God in a special way. And we're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. Sometimes we do it better than others. Sometimes we make mistakes. But the Lord knows our hearts. And most of all, if children know that they're loved, it builds them up in a special way. What'd Stephen say about his granddad? I knew this man loved me. And I know that there's some grandkids in this church that know Papa and Grandma love me. And that's special. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Would you just be thankful for your parents? Just be thankful. Many of us, our parents are in glory. But we can still say, Lord, thank you for the mom and dad that you gave me. Thank you for the way they loved me. Thank you for the way they cared for me. Thank you for the way they taught me about Jesus. And I urge you that if your mom and dad's still living, make sure today that they know how much you love and appreciate them. If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where you need to start. You walk this aisle right now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And just say to preacher Ed, I want to accept Jesus. I know I need him in my life. I know he's the Lord and Savior. I know I'm lost. I know I'm on my way to hell, but I want to go to heaven. I want to live a different life. So if you just come, I'll meet you here at the altar and we'll talk about it. If today something that the Holy Spirit has said through me has touched your heart concerning the way your home life is conducted, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your husband, your parents, your children, just right where you are, make a commitment. Lord, as you teach me and guide me and enable me, I want to bring more Christ-likeness into our home. Father, I thank you that we don't have to do all of this on our own. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, that guides us and directs us and teaches us, that leads us, that enables us to follow you. And Lord, help our homes to be the kind of place that we leave behind precious memories for all of those who follow us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace as you leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen.